listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. It's always our joy and pleasure to have you call in. Ask your questions. We're going to set the stage. We're going to set the plate. Ask you to join in the dialogue and discussion on the issue. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'll have a brief monologue. After the monologue, we're going to introduce our very special guest. We're asking the question today. It's high profile on some of the more conservative networks. It is not mentioned at all on some of the networks. And that question is, should Dr. Fauci be tried for murder? Oh, you say, I didn't know anything about that. You probably don't, because it's rarely spoken of on the news today. Dr. Rand Paul is now chairman of that committee that's investigating. They've subpoenaed Dr. Fauci to come because they believe he lied to Congress on the time he was last interviewed. That's a long story. We'll get into the parts of it. I'm looking at the headline. It says, Chairman Paul delivers opening remarks during the whistleblower hearing on the multi-agency cover-up of COVID-19 and the gain-of-function research. And it's Rand Paul that openly says that Dr. Fauci should be tried for murder. And I believe I'm using his words in context, and that's the question that was set forth today of what we need to do. And our special guest we'll introduce in just a moment, written his third book on the subject of COVID. In fact, I'm looking at the third book. Title of it is The SARS-CoV-2 Virus, The Forensic Investigation by Dr. Reed Sheftall. We'll be interviewing Dr. Sheftall in a moment, and we ask you to tune in, join in the dialogue and discussion. And if you would please today, ladies and gentlemen, the dialogue and discussion, we're going to try to limit to the subject matter of talking to Dr. Sheftall about his new book, what's in the new book, and why it is so vital that each and every one of us read the book and get a little understanding, grasp what took place just a few years back and still having the repercussions and the outfall of those lies and the deception that we're told about COVID-19. Millions of people, ladies and gentlemen, across the world, around the nation, still facing the devastation, the desperation, and the death as a result of the lies of Big Pharma, the lies of our federal government, and the lies from Dr., I call him Sir Anthony Fauci. And just a few years ago, after the main impact of COVID-19, we're still witnessing, we're still finding, and we're still unpeeling the onion, the truth onion, as I call it, that we now know some of the facts. Some of the facts about the COVID pathogen was initiated in the Wuhan, China lab, paid for by American taxpayers. We do know that Dr. Fauci collaborated with the CIA and the FDA and the other intelligence agencies to lie to America, not just about COVID origins, but also about the state of COVID as a result of the death jabs. Now we do know that Dr. Fauci lied to Congress when he was first interviewed. Now we do know that the CDC and the FDA, Big Pharma, joined in charade that caused death and destruction and devastation across America. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're going with the broadcast today, and it's my prayer that you'll tune in and call others to join in the dialogue and discussion today. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I am absolutely delighted to say that if we look at local things, state, national, international, and global events, we need to do so by looking at those events through the prism of the Word of God, seeing what God's Word says in relationship to all of these events. I was listening to a major television broadcast last evening in relationship to some of the events in America, and I was amazed at one of them used the precise terms that I have used. That's okay to, it's okay to replicate, duplicate, and imitate something that is good, and so I'm thankful that I've said some things that I believe others, even on a national level, are picking up on and using the statements I've made. And they're quoting it, and one of them made the statement last evening that we need to analyze everything through the prism of the Scripture, the Word of God, the Bible. And so I'm thankful that they've heard, they've embraced, and they're using what I've said. And so that's what I say each and every day on this broadcast. In John 8:31 and 32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2, substantiates, ladies and gentlemen, that fact, says the truth of the Lord endures forever. And yet we know the statement made by George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell made a profound statement that I believe is emblematic of what we see today. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And as we're talking about the subject of COVID, SARS-CoV-19, and the lie that was perpetrated on America, and we know that it's a lie. We know that it was deception. We know that it was purposeful deception on the part of the CDC, the NIH, the FDA, et cetera, under the leadership and the beguiling lies of Dr. Anthony Fauci. We know that's true. So, ladies and gentlemen, we can say that. And yet, at the same time, we can recall that just a few years back, everybody that said that were considered to be liars. They were considered to be conspiracy theorists. And many physicians lost their license, lost their medical practice as a result of standing up and saying, "Something is wrong with this picture." And I'm going to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that we have so many today that do not believe in absolute truth. Absolute truth. Most younger Americans, according to this headline, says there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, 55% of the millennials say that each and every person determines their own version of truth. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you that without truth, we have nothing as a foundation to build on in America. One headline that I'm looking at says, "Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth." And the article goes on in part saying three major areas where we cannot depend on for truth. That is the media, government itself, and the educational system. And what we're seeing today is evidence of that being factual without any opportunity to say that it is not. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. We need to seek the truth. You don't find it on the Communist Network News. We need to listen to the truth, learn the truth, love it, embrace it, if you will, and be willing to stand and defend the truth, even to death. What America needs now, I believe more than anything else, is a stand on the truth of the Word of God. What America needs today is to realize that without truth we have nothing whatsoever. I'm looking at Proverbs 29:2. "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." And we find so often mourning in relationship to the events of the day, simply because we're not standing on the truth. In fact, the truth of the Word of God. I find it fascinating that there is a challenge found in Psalms 33:12. Psalms 33:12 clearly says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And that ought to be our mantra and our desire today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages, looking for you to start your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. They can answer your questions about the homeowner brand as well as the professional landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Good question. On the caps of Tools for Time, that's a 165-foot flagpole. On top of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our subject, our issue today, and I believe it behooves each and every one of us to recognize where we've been, what has taken place, and to understand and recognize history prevents repeating history. And I believe that if we understand what took place during the days of COVID, in fact, I'm looking at a headline that says, Florida Grand Jury. COVID shot report. Big Pharma engaged in deception, hid adverse events from the public. A Florida statewide grand jury investigating the production and safety of COVID-19 injections released the report Tuesday and found profound and serious issues involving the process of vaccine development and safety surveillance in the United States. Governor DeSantis described the collusion relationship between Big Pharma, the federal government, the scientific journals, and ultimately served to hide important information about the drugs mandated for many from the American public. While we're still reading through the report and its recommendation, it details that though deception and through deception and taking advantage of scientific journal infrastructure to hide adverse events from the public, Big Pharma engaged in a pattern of deception and obfuscation behavior. DeSantis wrote, Big Pharma brought in billions of dollars in profit, and the federal government amplified bogus studies, all while suppressing any and all opposition that went against their preferred narrative instead of federal agencies acting as a backup to bad incentives. They worked closely with Big Pharma as they cut corners, even becoming unpaid adversaries and advertisers, that is, on their behalf. Further, it states in this article, research found that the mRNA-based Pfizer COVID injections contain large amounts of residual DNA in all lots and concentrations ranging from 32.7 to 43.4 clinical doses. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to, deceived, and that lies and deception brought about major catastrophic results, not just for America, but around the globe. I'm delighted today to have with us Dr. Reed Sheftall. Dr. Sheftall's bio, let me just read, ladies and gentlemen, a brief portion of the bio that's found in his newest book, Sanctioned the COVID Murders, Volume 2, SARS-CoV-2 Virus, A Forensic Investigation. On the opening page, Dr. Reed Sheftall received a physics degree from MIT in 1978. He became a member of the University of Southern California faculty at the age of 21. After a two-year stint as a card counter in Reno and Las Vegas, he moved on to medical school, surgery residence, and a fellowship in pediatric burn reconstruction while completing his training in plastic and reconstructive surgery. Dr. Sheftall founded the charity Operation Kids to provide free surgery for burned and disfigured children on the developing world. After 28 years, Dr. Sheftall returned to training, this time in pediatric cardiac surgery. During the last 5-plus years, he has written hundreds of essays and made dozens of videos in an attempt to help the public understand SARS-2 COVID-19 and its various treatments, including the modified RNA vaccines. He's written two books on the subject, Heroes and Villains, the COVID-19 Book of List, published in 2022, Sanctioned, the COVID Murders, Volume 1, Tale of Two Viruses, published in 2025. Volume 1 and this volume, Volume 2, are parts of the 8-volume series that will be published over the coming years. Dr. Sheftall, that's a powerful, ingredient to look at as far as bio, background, and credentials. Take just a moment and share with our listeners something about what qualifies you to write these books. What qualifies you to make some of the profound, dogmatic statements that COVID did not exist? Talk to our listeners briefly on that subject.
Okay, thank you, Pastor. The question of whether or not the virus, SARS-CoV-2, and COVID existed or not came to me fairly recently, I'd say within the last 2 years. And the reason I came to that conclusion, or at least where I had justification in my mind necessary to proceed, was just about everything the government was telling us from the very beginning was not true. And so I began to question everything. And of course, the first thing you want to question is, did the virus even exist? So I looked into it in great detail based on my understanding of the scientific method and so forth, and gathered evidence and studied it very carefully and read the papers where people had claimed to have isolated the virus and found out that it was all pseudoscience. Mm-hmm. It's a very strong claim, but this book, this most recent volume of Sanction the COVID Murders, the forensic investigation of SARS-CoV-2, details in everyday English that there was no SARS-2 virus. And I explain why, and I actually write a formal proof of it that's very easy to understand for the average person.
Very good. Well, I'm thankful for the work. I've had the privilege of delving into your books, not reading them totally, but highlighting them. And by the way, Dr. Sheftall, I don't know if you've seen any of my work. When I read a book, I like to mark it up, make it yellow so that I can read it and understand it. And I talk to the author on the sidelines about what I think of it and a question that I have. And I've got a whole bunch of questions today. Great. That I want to ask you about this new book so that our listeners will understand why it is so imperative that they understand this subject. And I say that, Dr. Sheftall, because I believe without any doubt in my mind that America is on the fast track for some type planned pandemic for the fall. Some type pandemic that will cause the public to again be deceived, bow, and bend to the lies and the deception of the powers to be, including our own health agencies and our own federal government. I'm concerned about that, number one. So, Dr. Sheftall, in your introductory remarks in your newest book, you state this: you might not believe what's written in this book the first time you read it. Explain that to our listeners.
Yeah, for the public to grasp that their own government would have made up a virus, created a virus out of thin air, meaning not, it's not a real virus, but they told the public there was a virus spreading from person to person causing this illness, is so hard to believe that the government would lie to the public like that. But when you go back and look through history, which I did in preparation for this book, you find that the government does that frequently. Everything from lying about the body count in Vietnam, which you know they were lying about, mm-hmm. as it was occurring, we know that now, all the way to 1976, where the government convinced 45 million citizens, United States citizens, to take a vaccine for a disease where there was not a single confirmed case anywhere in the world for the 7 months it took to create the vaccine. And yet people still took a vaccine for a disease that had no confirmed
And what
cases.
Was that at that date and time?
That was in 1976, and it was the swine flu, mm-hmm. supposedly. It turns out there wasn't even a swine flu, yet people took a vaccine for it.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, and your statement is dogmatically so, and as I've read the major introductory portion of your book, you have some pretty good statistical data that you depend on based on your research, and you're saying to our listeners, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the book in my hand. It is entitled Sanctioned, The COVID Murders, Volume 2, SARS-CoV-2 Virus, A Forensic Investigation by Dr. Reed Sheftall. So Dr. Sheftall, Again, thank you for being with us. And for our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 904-831-0917. I want to ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. If you've had any, how would you say, any reason to believe that there's something wrong with what happened with COVID and the COVID lie, the COVID vaccine, if you've had interface with it, illness, hospitalization, friends, family, relatives that's been put in the hospital, that's been treated for it, and you are concerned about it, I'd love to have you call and ask Dr. Sheftall some very poignant, pointed, personal questions that I believe he could answer for us today in relationship to what you're dealing with and what your questions are. I know many of you, as I have, we've had family members that have been murdered in the hospital based on so-called COVID. I want you to call in, ask Dr. Sheftall some very poignant questions that might resolve some things in your mind as to whether or not you're really relevant, it's relevant or not, as to what your thoughts are and what you've experienced. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Kenneth.
Yes, I know, I believe in my heart, and I know it, and listening to you, doctor, that it was a lie.
Yes, sir, it was.
It was an absolute lie by the government. And I think they're doing stuff like Dr. Youngblood just said. They are planning another one. I believe that.
Yeah, they've already tried to, Kenneth, they have already tried to spring new pandemics on us. Since COVID, I mean, there was monkeypox. Remember monkeypox? There's recently been Ebola. There was a bird flu. Remember the bird flu from about 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. Where they were saying it had gotten in 14 people in the United States or something, and no one had died yet, but it was spreading. And so they actually spent they bought 4 million doses of a bird flu vaccine, wasted our taxpayer money on that. Recently, there's been calls that there's probably going to be an Ebola pandemic that's going to start, which Ebola could never cause a pandemic, by the way, because you have to come in contact with the body fluids of the affected person. So that means it won't spread. Very rapidly enough for a pandemic. And then most recently, there was hantavirus from the Andes Mountains, supposedly on a cruise ship, and that's fizzled out already, too. So they're coming up with things all the time to scare the public into another vaccine, and people are really gun-shy about what happened during COVID, so they haven't been able to make one of these stick yet. But eventually, people will forget, and they will get scared again and do another vaccine. Remember, this President Obama did a swine flu scare in 2010.
That's right.
And 25% of the population took the vaccine then. And he had told everyone that hellfire was going to rain down on the people that didn't get the vaccine, 75% of the U.S. citizens. And, of course, in the time after the vaccine, nothing happened to the 75%. The only people that died were the 25% that took the vaccine.
Dr. Sheftall, in pun, maybe that's what's causing all the fires across the nation. He said, Obama said, hellfire was going to rain down.
Yeah, right.
Of course, I'm joking. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. Dr. Sheftall, I'm looking at a headline that says, Fauci files, 5 explosive findings declassified by Tulsi Gabbard. This is dated June 19th, just in the past 30 days. Director of Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard on Thursday evening declassified hundreds of pages related to the cover-up of the theory that COVID-19 virus leaked from an American-funded lab in Wuhan, China, and the involvement of the nation's most powerful public health officials, Anthony Fauci, in that cover-up. Gabbard said in a statement that Fauci and all of his allies in the scientific community and intelligence community ripped a page right out of the deep state playbook. Fauci's influence on the intelligence community last year.
Yeah.
The COVID-19 pandemic caused tremendous hardship and pain for millions of our fellow Americans and for countless Americans around the world. After years of lies, censorship, and cover-up, the American people deserve transparency, truth, accountability, according to Tulsi Gabbard. It goes further to say, emails show Sir Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, extraordinary influence on the intelligence committee,
yes,
and a community. What is this talking about? You're familiar with it.
Yeah,
what does it say?
I've looked into this a little bit. It's been in the news lately. Of course, the mainstream media doesn't cover it very much because they're implicated in it, too. Pastor, you know, the mainstream media lied about this the whole time, too. So
yes,
they don't cover these kinds of things. But recently, Tulsi Gabbard unleashed a lot of stuff that was hidden before. Part of it was a bunch of emails that Fauci had written to intelligence agencies, and he also appeared in person with them, telling them a narrative that was not true. And, of course, we have now found personal communication, such as his journal, where supposedly he's writing in the truth in his journal,
mm-hmm,
that contradict what he told the intelligence agencies.
Yes.
So, in other words, he's lying to the intelligence agencies and the American people about what was really going on. And that's what I've been trying to say the whole time.
Absolutely.
Me and Dr. Yeadon, Mike Yeadon, and maybe a few other people caught on to this at the very beginning and picked up on these lies. And boy, we suffered a lot from it. I mean, I had family members that were after me because of it, saying that Fauci's a hero and all this. Good Lord. So I've lost a first cousin, a brother, all kinds of people over this. So that's another reason why people should listen to me when I speak.
Absolutely.
Because I've really suffered from this. But on the other hand, I feel obligated to tell the truth to the American people about it.
Dr. Schiff told in your book, and if I'm not mistaken, it's on page 2.
Right.
There's a statement that is made here. Let me just say this. Page 2, you say in your book, stated that everyone that died during COVID could have been listed as the cause of death. COVID could have been listed. Tell our listeners how deceitful and how broad the deceit was, how openly visible it was when you look at it, how multitudes died in the hospital or in nursing homes or in some other centers, medical centers, and they listed it as COVID.
Right.
Explain that to our listeners.
Well, it's a long-winded answer. I'm going to give you the short answer first, and in doing so, I'm going to read a quote by Dr. Ngozi Ezike,
yes,
who is the public health director of Illinois.
Yes.
And here's what she says about it. I want to be clear in terms of the definition of people dying of COVID. The case definition is very simplistic. It means at the time of death, it was a COVID-positive diagnosis. It means if you were in hospice and had already been given a few weeks to live and you were found to have COVID, that means it was a COVID death. It means even if you died of a clear alternative cause, if you had COVID at the time of death, it was listed as a COVID death. So everyone who's listed as a COVID death, it doesn't mean that that was the cause of death, but that they had COVID at the time of death. Now, that alone is scary, but let me just correct Dr. Ezike. It doesn't mean they had COVID at the time of death. What they had was a positive test for COVID at the time of death. And having a positive test for COVID, it turns out, did not mean that people had COVID at all.
Absolutely.
Because the PCR test, which is used to make the diagnosis of COVID, was a completely illegitimate test for that purpose.
I understand that. In fact, you cover that in your book, Dr. Schefthal, that it is the PCR test. Explain that. The PCR, what does that PCR stand for? What does it mean?
Okay. It's
I'm looking at page 8, for example. The PCR test was perfect candidate. In truth, the PCR is incapable of diagnosing COVID. Explain that to our listeners.
Okay, it was a perfect candidate to deceive the people.
Yes.
That's what the context of that statement, it was a perfect candidate, was. It was a horrible candidate to make a diagnosis. In fact, Carrie Mullis, the inventor of the PCR, made the obvious statement that you can't make a diagnosis with a PCR. The reason is the PCR looks for fragments of DNA in, say, your nasopharynx, where they rub that cotton swab.
Yes.
Okay. It will look for fragments of DNA in there. It tells you nothing about whether a virus is in there or not, a live virus. And that's what you need to make a diagnosis on something, not some little fragment of DNA. And, of course, there's some really bad there's some real bad problems with the PCR early on because they were making the diagnosis of COVID-19 before they even had the genome of COVID-19, meaning they didn't even have a primer for the PCR test. And I can explain what a primer is when we come back. But
all right.
Let me do that. It's so important for people to understand the PCR test.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll continue with Dr. Reed Sheftall. We're talking about today, should Sir Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, be caught, tried, convicted for murder? Because he is, according to some of the reports, he is the one that's the progenitor of this disease, this death, as a result of it. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back. Right after.